Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a show that happens twice a week where two to three old guys talk about old games. On today's episode, it's Original Flavor Wednesday, so we'll be talking about IGN's 40th ranked game, Earthworm Jim 2. But first, I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and my first slow dance was in the sixth grade. And up until that point, I had basically had little to no experience with girls whatsoever, especially slow dancing. So at the Calvert City Civic Center, which is just a little concrete room in the middle of a little town where people would throw parties for their 13-year-old kids, and they would all come and just dance in a big pile with some DJ. So I went because I had a crush on one of the girls, and she was my first girlfriend, like, in middle school.
Were you boyfriend and girlfriend at the time?
Not at the time.
Okay. This is a deciding factor?
Well, she was basically the first girl that's ever, like, made the first move, even. Like, sixth grade, she started writing me notes.
Oh, wow.
So then, of course, I'm going to be your boyfriend. Of course, yes. Yeah. You didn't really have to ask girl a row away.
Clearly, she wanted it.
Yeah, she needed it.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. In sixth grade, it's only a few things. Yeah. She needed my hand holdings, needed them. But we'll go to the Calvert City Civic Center, somebody's birthday party, and it's time to slow dance. Mm. And another girl I was friends with, who I didn't have feelings for, but she was one of those very boisterous, very loud girls. And she was all like, oh, everybody needs to dance, there's a dance. Tyler, you have to dance with blah, blah, blah. And like...
Bossy.
Well, yeah, exactly. So she stood her up.
They're trying to ban that word, by the way.
I believe I had worn, like, I'd come, I mean, dressed to kill in my full corduroy suit.
Nice. Yeah.
Brown corduroy jacket, nice. Flannel undershirt, brown pants, and my dad's elevated shoes.
All right.
Hair done like Conan O'Brien. I was ready to just slay pussy.
You're a regular.
Slay that middle school pussy.
You're a regular John Arbuckle.
Yes, that's a damn good comparison. And so I believe she's also dressed to kill in like overalls. And
nothing else.
Just see, I'm into that because I remember Piggly Wiggly next to the copy of Addams Family I would rent was a Playboy video, and it was just like a girl wearing nothing but overalls and very large breasts with the straps right. Just covering her
yeah,
nipples.
That's crucial.
I'll always sort of put overalls and tits together.
Man, I was hoping you were going a completely different route. As soon as you said Piggly Wiggly, I was like hoping you were saying every time I go rent a game, there'd be this fat woman in overalls. Just lording over all the video games, forcing us to take a peek at a tit before we could pick up Super Mario World.
Hey, boy, you want a wiggle? But she agrees to dance with me, and she steps out on the dance floor and raises her arms and makes her hands in such a gesture like she's presenting herself for me to go and grab her and dance. She's like Vanna White whenever she presents a letter. She does like that, only two-handed.
Okay.
Over her overalled coverall body. So like I walk up, never slow dance with a girl before. So I was like, oh, what do I do? I mean, of course she had her hands up. Like I should have taken a second to be like, okay, her hips. That's where I should put my hands. Nope. Walked over, put them on her shoulders. So then like she kind of stops and puts her hands on my shoulders. Like she's supposed to do. And of course we keep enough room for Jesus.
Yeah.
So we're standing a foot apart with our hands extended out like Frankenstein's on each other's shoulders, just kind of swaying back and forth until the loud girl finally goes, grabs my hand, puts them on her hips. Immediate erection.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for the foot of space. And I believe it was a Boys to Men song. So
do you recall which one?
I don't. I just remember the luxurious tones of Boyz II Men. I don't know what they were singing.
I'm Dave. You're the Bespectacled Host. And I'm glad that you have told a childhood romance story.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a confession to make that I'm fairly certain I haven't told on the show. Before I do that, I'd like to open this tasty beverage.
Mm. Yeah.
Our sponsor tonight is Coke Zero. Thank you. If, by the way, if anyone from Coca-Cola is listening, you want to send us a hundo and... And I'll say all the great things about Coke Zero you want.
Doesn't mean that much.
Like, yeah.
Just like a check for $2.
Send us a 12-pack. I have a confession to make, and I'm glad that Nikki's not in this room because she doesn't know this yet. When she listens to this episode, she'll find out. But I am technically still going out with my high school girlfriend. So I've been cheating on her with my wife for years and years, because I got the feeling in high school that she didn't like me very much. I don't know why she kept going out with me. I guess it was all those like really awkward finger bangs. That's all I could. I mean, that's really all I had to offer. So everything's kind of becoming clear now. She would never call me, right? I would always have to call her.
Mm-hmm.
And that would bug the shit out of me. It would bother me. It would bother me that I would make the effort and she never would.
Mm.
So here's what happened. It's my senior year and she's a junior. And I decided one day, I just told myself, I'm not calling her again. I'm not calling. I'll talk to her when she calls me. Still waiting for that call.
That's pretty good.
Still waiting for that call. Good. So there was no breakup. It was just, I never called her. She never called me. I don't know where she is. I don't know what she's doing. Hopefully I didn't traumatize her too much. Before I die, I need to track her down. Like, literally before I die. Like, I don't want to do it, like, tomorrow. Like, I want to wait until I'm, like, about to die. And I want to find her and be like, I don't think this is going to work out.
I'd love to see that Facebook message, too. You just randomly send her, this is over.
I'm sorry. If you want one more like awkward grope in the garage, that's fine. But after that, we are done.
We have a special guest host today.
We do?
Yeah.
Who's
I'm right here, Dave.
Well, holy shit. Where have you been?
Hey, I've been sitting here the whole time.
He used Josh magic. It's Josh Nance.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Josh.
You have any awkward romance stories?
Sort of, yeah. Okay, I've got really, really sweaty palms, so it makes things really awkward when somebody tries to hold my hand. Like Dave, just a few moments ago, tried to hold my hand.
You wish.
And my hands were pretty sweaty. So I don't remember. I'd always have this problem, so whenever I wanted to hold hands with a girl, you know, I'd be nervous about it, and that would just make things worse. So I remember I saw this. It was a 90s sitcom. I don't remember if it was like Home Improvement or Full House or what exactly. Ooh. But they addressed that issue. They had one of the kids was going to a dance, and he had sweaty palms. And one of the advice that he was given was just keep some tissues in your pocket and put your hands in the pocket, and that'll, you know, dry them up.
Okay.
So I did that. So almost every dance that I went to in middle school and a lot of high school, I had tissues in my pocket, just walking around with a wad of tissues in my pocket.
You probably could have just asked any of the girls for tissues from their tops.
Just hand on a boob.
Sorry, my palms are sweaty.
Put boob in quotations, and I think you're right. What do we do on this show? What do we do?
Okay.
Besides talk about awkward gropes.
I guess buttholes. That's really about
it. Have we finally gotten to the butthole episode?
Yeah.
Yes! I knew that was going to be somewhere in the
80s. Good, because I knew it was like...
I'm preparing my butthole all week.
Today, we're talking about Earthworm Jim 2.
What is this ranked?
Number 40.
All right. It's amazing that we're almost done with this. We're like, we're past halfway.
I know.
We're coming into the bottom third. We're not there yet.
Yeah. We're almost to our collective age brackets in IGN's ranking system.
Should we have a birthday celebration?
We should.
Yeah, when we hit our age in the IGN rank.
Exactly. That'll be very special episodes.
Those are behind the paywall. I wanted to have this conversation on the show, on the mics. I didn't want to have this conversation beforehand because I want to get honest input from both of you guys.
I think you're a very handsome boy. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I also think sometimes I think I'm a very handsome boy, and then like 50% of the time I think I'm like the least handsome boy. So it's a fucking roller coaster here, nonstop. But Josh Edwards, does he have a title?
Count. That's what he'd requested.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I forgot. Sorry.
Because he is, we could also call him some sort of like camper, because he's the one, he camps out our episode for, as soon as it hits, he listens to it.
Yeah, I think
he's the rare person. He listens to episodes on Sunday and Tuesday.
Yeah, because he is in a different time zone, mm-hmm. so he gets to cheat.
Yep.
So he's listening to it on Monday and Wednesday, our time. But because he's a time traveler, he gets to listen to it early.
Awesome. Maybe instead of count, some sort of time-related. We could go Doctor Who and call him Time Lord Josh Edwards.
I think we should. Yeah. I think we should, because we have lords, and we have exalted lords.
We don't have a Time Lord
yet. We don't have a Time Lord yet.
Okay.
And you count time. So it only makes sense.
Yeah, he did Alan.
So he's like the Sesame Street
right.
count from. Okay. He was also a Time Lord. I like this.
And he's also purple gentleman, so it works out. That was a Sesame Street joke.
In case you didn't get it.
But what I want to talk about is he made some good suggestions about the show, and he really likes segments. So what I want to do is I want to propose that this is a new segment.
Okay.
I want a new segment, if you're okay with it, mm-hmm. where I ask all the guests and all the regular hosts. I ask myself as well. Then I go and wash my hands. And then I come back and you have answers prepared. And then I go wash my hands again and come back. And then you give me your answers.
I think that's good.
Grab some tissues like, for me, please.
Yes, I'll bring back tissues. I'll wear them in my bra that I constantly wear. But I'd like this to be a regular segment. He also mentioned that we should have bumpers and stuff, like music and sound effects and all that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not sure. What do you think?
I mean, I can see the benefit, but mm-hmm.
you guys would just get carried away. Like every bad joke, toilet flush.
That's what I'm worried about, because it'll be like that Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where they start a podcast and it's just like lasers every 2 seconds. I don't trust ourselves. I have a feeling that we're just exactly going to be like you said, Josh.
So we shouldn't force the sound. If we feel they're needed, we can put them in, but not to force them.
I think, okay. And we exclusively use Vuvuzelas.
Yep.
What if someone sends us an awesome song that we can play for this segment?
Okay.
I'm not gonna say I have Phil Hawkins in mind, but I'm not gonna say I don't. He sent us a great song for Side Pig that we never use.
That's true. So should we actually get a actual train noise for Dave Roots in Wikipedia instead of my just sick moaning?
I don't know. I think I've grown to love that. But I think our listeners have too.
You could put it on a soundboard. Shit.
Yeah. By that, you mean our iPhone. Yeah.
Shh, we're very high budget. It's like NPR in here.
It is like an R-rated NPR.
You and I are like Ira Glass.
All right. So thank you for the suggestion, Josh. Sorry, Time Lord Josh. And if anyone wants to send in anything, mm-hmm. we might play it. You can email it to us. You can email it to me at dave@tadpog.com. Okay. Now that that's out of the way, that important business that I'm sure everyone wanted to hear. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did either of you play this game, Earthworm Jim 2, when you were children?
I only played the original one, just to heck. So okay. I've never played beyond...
Second level.
Yep, second level of the first one until it came Tadpog time. And then I never played Earthworm Jim 2 until today.
Josh. I played it on Genesis, yeah. I didn't get very far, I don't think. Yeah, I don't remember much about it. I know I didn't beat it for sure. I don't remember how far I got exactly, but yeah, I didn't play this nearly as much as I did the original Earthworm Jim.
I played this game a lot. This was a go-to game for me. I've got many fond memories of playing it on the Genesis with one friend in middle school and playing it on the Super Nintendo with Lord Matt Barger. This was one of the games that I remember fondly playing with him. I think I played it more than him, but I didn't own it. I'm not sure he owned it either. Matt, if you want to clear that up, I'm sure everyone's really interested. Mm-hmm. So please, please feel free to let us know. So yeah, I played this game a lot, and I am a masochist, so I beat it, which is a life skill. Because I was able to beat it.
Masochism? Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I agree. Yeah. So is sadism, let's be fair.
It's an acquired taste.
One good turn deserves another. So I'm proud to say, and I do put it on my resume, that I have beaten Earthworm Jim 2. It has gotten me 2 jobs.
If I were an employer and I saw that, I would be impressed.
So I'm going to leave it on there because I'm banking on you to give me my next job.
I will. Because I don't know. No promises. I'll look at your resume.
All right. Fair enough.
So I guess going through it again, how do you feel about it now, years later? Are those memories now sullied or relatively intact, those good memories?
Memories are always intact. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like losing a loved one.
Okay.
The memories are good. They remain good. I'm going to go ahead and spoil how I feel about this game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. I am going into this with the biggest nostalgia glasses in the world. But I do truly believe that this is a good game. Without a doubt, I think this is a good game. And I think this is one of the better games that I've played for this show recently. Mm-hmm. Like, this was refreshing for me. Like, playing this was like, I think I can do this show still.
Okay.
I was on the edge. I was like, I don't know. Evo, we played Evo. Evo wrecked my world. I played Evo and I was like, I'm not even sure I want to live anymore, let alone do this show. But Earthworm Jim was like, it was like a cold, refreshing Coke Zero.
See, I feel like, I don't think it's a terrible game, but I feel like Earthworm Jim 2 and Earthworm Jim should flip places on IGN's list.
Oh, no.
Because I feel like the original was better than this.
I'm going to agree with Tyler. I had more fun playing the original than I did this one.
What about the original did you like better than Earthworm Jim 2?
I feel like the original had... this comparison I gave to Paul Kluhl was that Earthworm Jim 2 feels like the fourth season of Community. And if anybody, a fan of Community, that's the season Dan Harmon didn't do. So it had all the same, it had all those Community elements, but the soul was gone. So I feel like Earthworm Jim 2 had a lot of the same elements, but there just wasn't this cohesive creativity like it had in the first one.
See, I think it's more creative. And I don't like that argument because it's non-debatable. It's like, it doesn't have a soul. I don't know.
Yep.
Can't beat that.
Mm-mm. See, for me, Earthworm Jim 2 was significantly harder than Earthworm Jim 1, which I thought Earthworm Jim 1 was a fairly challenging game.
Yeah.
And I thought it was basically Earthworm Jim with added stuff. And I don't think that added stuff was necessary. For instance, the snot whip, you've got your little companion.
Mm-hmm. In a backpack, right?
Yeah. And you use him for the same effect that you used,
head whip.
Yeah, the head whip.
In the first one.
It's exact same function, but completely unnecessary. All the extra guns you get in the game are cool. How many of those do you actually use?
I used a lot of them.
Maybe only the large brick one.
Right.
Yeah.
To clear the whole screen, but...
So I just thought a lot of them were unnecessary and just got in the way.
Because I can appreciate the controls in this one were better. The directions you could shoot in, much improved. More guns and the ability to shuffle between the guns. Because before in the first one, you get a special shot. That's your next shot. You can't choose back.
You can't rotate through your guns.
So they changed a lot of the technical aspects they improved upon. And that is much better by the second one than the first one. But it's the level design and... Well, I guess I think I probably enjoy the music in the second one better as well. But the level design and the sort of the bosses, everything else I felt was subpar. It just felt watered down and forced as compared to the first one where I felt like... I don't know. I just felt like the flow and creativity and the function of the game was much better.
Some of the jokes are redone too. Like the goldfish in the bowl, you know, as the boss.
Bob, yeah.
But don't get me wrong, I enjoyed this game. It was frustrating for the short time that I played it, but I still enjoyed it. I thought it was a good game.
We skipped a segment.
Oh, yeah.
We skipped a segment, so I can't fully commit to this conversation.
Okay.
You can edit it. We'll just pretend.
Let's just make Tyler's life hell.
We'll record the episode backwards. It'll be like the memento.
There's a picture of Earthworm Jim in the show notes. Don't trust this man.
I'm trying to think of a good Earthworm Jim train. Cause
good luck with that one.
Yeah. Choo-choovery.
All right.
So like it says groovy and choo-choo. Yeah,
I got it. I choo-choo-choo's
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
It's Scooby-Doo-ish there.
Choo-choo-free.
Okay, guys. Earthworm Jim 2 is a run-and-gun platform video game starring an earthworm named Jim in a robotic suit who battles evil. It is a sequel, in case you hadn't figured it out, to the original Earthworm Jim and the second and final game in the Earthworm Jim series developed by original creators Doug Tenapel, David Perry, and Shiny Entertainment. It was released in late 1995 and early 1996, depending on region and console, initially being released for the Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo before being ported to many other consoles. That's all I've got. I also want to say, for those of you listening who haven't played the game, we had a request for gameplay videos. Mm-hmm. And Tyler and I, we don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. We don't know how to do that. We did The Walking Dead, and like no one watched it.
Yep.
So I destroyed all that equipment in a fit of rage because I was
Office Space style. You just took
God,
it out.
God, I spent like $4,000 on this, and no one watched. Yeah. So
took it to the incinerator. Yeah.
Yeah. So what we've done is we've reached out to Paul Kluel of What's Paul Playing Today and asked if he would do gameplay videos of the games that we play.
Mm-hmm.
And he has graciously agreed to do so.
Yes.
So if you want to see what Earthworm Jim 2 is like, but you don't want to play it because the things that Tyler and Josh have already said have scared you away, you can go to facebook.com/whatspaulplayingtoday. There'll be a video there that you can watch.
So were you watching that live earlier, or was this had this already been recorded?
I wasn't watching it live earlier. He does stream it live.
Okay.
I was watching a video. I'm glad you brought that up because Paul may get a kick out of this. When you were playing the game, Josh, I started his gameplay video at the same time. So it was like, Josh, it was like you were racing mm-hmm. Paul the entire time. He beat you.
Yeah. For a while, I was in the lead. Then
you were in the lead. Yeah.
Then maggot on a unicycle.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So, okay. So I'm done with all segments and plugs for now.
I watched gameplay of the Genesis playthrough, and this was the penultimate version. If you want to play it, it's the Genesis version.
I agree. I think the Genesis version is better. It looks better.
The sound effects are better. The intro is different. It looks like a much more polished.
I agree. No, I agree 100%. I think that the Genesis version, if we were doing a top 100 Genesis games, I think it'd be number one.
Yeah, truly, truly.
Okay.
Name a Genesis game that's better.
Phantasy Star 4.
No.
Gunstar Heroes.
I'd never played that.
Shining one. Force 2.
Jurassic Park.
Okay, Jurassic Park would be number one. All those like sci-fi RPGs can suck a big one because
you get to be a fucking raptor in the Genesis version of Jurassic Park. Come on.
Right? By the way, I didn't accidentally delete my notes right before the show this time, so I do have notes.
Yay.
That's not to say that we're going to have a good show. It doesn't guarantee a good show, but it may help.
All right, so we'll break it down level by level.
Is that how you want to do it? Let's do it.
All right, so level one, you're back in the first level from the first Earthworm Jim, aren't you?
It looks a lot like it.
It looks a lot like it.
It does look a lot like it.
Just no tires.
Because the first level in Earthworm Jim 1 is New Junk City, and it's a junkyard city, mm-hmm. I assume. In Earthworm Jim 2, I don't know where it is, but the level name is Anything But Tangerines.
Yeah.
And I don't know this. It is a pig farm. Mm. I don't know this from the game. I just know this from internet. But that is Bob the Goldfish. That's his vacation planet. That's why he's there.
Okay. Because as soon as you start, you're going through this cave complex shooting snot aliens. And there's snot dripping from the ceiling. It establishes the rest of the game. Anytime you see snot dripping, that's someplace you can...
They're snot things? I thought they were squids, which completely fucks up my achievement. My one achievement that I thought of.
I think they're octopuses.
Okay.
With blunderbusses. So...
Okay, thank you.
Blunderbuss.
Blunderbusses, octopuses, pocketbusses, blunderbusses.
In that case...
You're like the homeless guy that Brandon
If you are correct, Dave, then my achievement is still intact.
Good. I don't know if I am or not, but let's just assume that I am.
So that's sort of how you get just lots of secrets at the game, is you look for the little snot dripping, and that's how you know to shoot up there, and you can slide to a secret or whatnot. And this level sort of establishes that.
Josh, you mentioned earlier that this functions essentially just like Earthworm Jim's head whip in the first game, which I agree, but I think this was much easier to execute than his head whip, because with his head whip, usually you had to get like...
You had to get the hook. Yeah.
But this, you could just kind of slap on the ceiling and be okay. It's still not really easy to control once you're going, because it shoots you really fast in whatever direction you're going.
Go through the octopuses, blunderbusses. As you swing through, the one I found really entertaining was you're suddenly in a living room with the chair that goes up and down stairs.
Stair lift.
Mm-hmm. Maneuvering that as old women fall from the ceiling.
Just like in Gremlins.
To me, whenever they land on you, it sounds as if they're screaming rape and they're hitting you with your purses.
Pretty sure that's it.
But apparently they say fresh.
They're saying fresh, which is something probably an old lady would say if you were trying to
get fresh,
grab her tissues out of her lovely blouse to dry your clammy hands.
So you maneuver through that. You don't go through that twice, which is a little frustrating. It's entertaining, but it's a little frustrating because you get to the top. If an old woman lands in your lap, she beats you with her purse all the way down the bottom of the stage. You have to start all over.
Mm-hmm.
So
I did the bonus stage. I got all the way to the top and said, fuck it, I don't want to do this again. Just completely did not get the extra life to just continue. Yeah. That's how frustrating it was.
I mean,
maybe I'm just bad at it, though.
It took you like 10 seconds to get back up. I mean, that's 10 seconds you're never going to get back.
And then as you progress to level one, you have to carry pigs, put them on platforms to raise weights for you to progress through the level.
Puzzle solving.
Puzzle solving. Basically, until you get to the end, throw enough pigs on a platform to raise it up, and then that's where you find Bob the Goldfish immediately, and then you eat him.
Yes, in a Mortal Kombat style.
Which I was surprised to see that, because I felt that was one of the more humorous twists in the first one, and then them leading with that as like the first boss kind of put me off, because it's like they were, remember when we did this? This is funny. Okay, there you go. Go ahead, level two.
Which level two is where Paul caught me up.
Yeah, level two, Lorenzo's Soil.
What's that a reference to? Do you know?
I think there's a movie called Lorenzo's Oil.
Okay.
But there's also one of the members of the team is named Lorenzen. So in one version of the game, I think it's the Genesis version, it's Lorenzo's Soil. And then I think in the Super Nintendo, it's Lorenzen's Soil. I don't know. I've got nothing to back this up, but knowing Nintendo and how they operated, I'm willing to bet they thought they'd get sued by the movie creator or something. I don't know. I said, I don't have anything to back that up, but...
You're probably right, because in that level, I felt, again, this level seemed like I understood the concept they were going for, because it's...
Explain it.
You're in a... what looks like sort of a terrarium packed full of dirt. You're in an ant farm, essentially, packed full of dirt, and you have to sort of dig your way across to get up and out of the level.
What are you using to dig your way up?
Your gun.
Lightning gun.
Yeah, like
but
a blaster.
It shoots laser, and it's clunky, and the way you shoot is, I don't know, it just doesn't, like it wasn't animated very well.
Mm. Yeah, I think this is actually a really good criticism. I think that this level is difficult to tell when you're doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
It can be frustrating because what you'll do is, in order to raise the dirt that you're standing on, you have to shoot upward and knock it from above you down to your feet so you can elevate yourself to jump the platforms.
The whole time you're being timed. You know, there's a countdown.
Right.
Yeah, so it's rushing you.
And you have to collect clocks in order to extend your time until you reach the top. The big problem is with it rushing you, it needs to work flawlessly. Do you know what I mean? Like, but there are several times where you're playing it, or I'll speak for myself when I was playing it, where, there'll be like a corner piece, right? And there's some dirt on it and I just want to jump up and grab that corner and pull myself up, but I can't because there's just a little bit of dirt on the lip.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit. And so I'll stand back and I'll try to shoot it and it won't go. And I'll stand back, I'll inch back a little bit, try to shoot it, it won't go away. I'll inch up twice and try to shoot it and it's just fuck. And I just look at the time and it's just slowly ticking down.
Yeah, that's what was frustrating me, is because so many of the pieces of dirt that you have to shoot down are diagonally up, and diagonally to the right or left or whatever. And there's no good way to shoot it except to just shoot up and then move your gun to the left and then back up to the, back up, back to the left, up, back to the left, just over and over again. Just wiggle the D-pad.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it was just really frustrating to me.
It's sad to me because I feel like, I disagree. I with the statement that this game isn't as creative as the first, I really think this game is more creative than the first and it's just maybe not executed. Like, I think this level is a good example of that because I can't really name another game that tries this other than like Dig Dug, but that's like really straightforward. And Digger. I've talked about Digger before. But it's a shame that it's not, like, something like this needs to be executed flawlessly, and it's not.
Yeah.
So I think this is one of the weakest levels.
Even when you do shoot it, the animation of, like, you clearing the dirt out of the way, it just looks like it just kind of turns into pixels.
Yeah.
Because it's just, yeah, the whole scheme is like, they just want, well, you know, there's stuff to do. It's fine. Just go. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know if it was that or it's a limitation of the technology. Like, I don't know if this was just something that they thought was a really good idea and the console couldn't hack it. I don't know. And I mean, maybe I do think it's something that, as creative as it is, I think maybe they should have cut the level.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we didn't mention you are being attacked by subterranean creatures like giant ants.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned the maggot at the end that you fight, the pupa on a unicycle,
mm-hmm.
Pedro.
I didn't know he had a name, okay. Because, yeah, he just sort of falls from the ceiling onto a unicycle and is going back and forth, vomiting maggots in his path. And then if he touches you, he will...
just swallow your ass.
Swallow you till you bump around a little bit and then... spewed out.
For me, he was really difficult until, Dave, you told me the trick to beating him. Originally, I was just jumping over him and attacking him, which, you know, most enemies have a pretty set pattern. I expected him to continue on to the edge of that little arena and then turn around and come back. But no, as soon as you jump over him, he turns around and swallows you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was a pretty challenging fight until, you know, I exploited the little trick you told me. And
just whip him.
Yeah.
Just whip him over and over again.
Whip him good.
Yeah. Yeah. The rare Tyler music reference.
Mm-hmm. And of course, when you...
Okay, I take it back. You guys need to get a soundboard and just, like...
just... crack that whip!
No, because I pictured you guys, like, toilet hitting flush, something. Flush. And, yeah, hitting the wrong one, like, toilet. Ouch. Just a few minutes of just random sleep. Okay, there we go.
Wait, hold on.
Damn it.
Why do we have 200 was this?
No, that's a video of my cat. Damn it.
When you beat him, I was a little lit down. There's not really... I think in any game, when you beat a boss, there should be a little bit of ceremony to it. Like, he should have exploded into green goo or something, as opposed to he just falls over and vanishes. And then Earthworm Jim pulls out the board and the weight to throw himself off the level, and it breaks, and he has to call a taxi. And you know, that's good. But just like the actual boss animation, I expected a little something as opposed to gone.
Maybe I just didn't notice it, but I've been playing Final Fantasy IV a lot, where, you know, enemies just disappear when you kill them.
They disintegrate.
Yeah, there's just no body left.
Sometimes it'll crackle and they'll shake bosses, and slowly dissolve. But then, of course, after this, the replacement Earthworm Jim, you had Racing Psycro or the bungee jumping. And in this one, you have Puppy Love.
Well, you always race Psycro because the bungee jumping was just a regular level.
Yeah, that's true.
So the bungee jumping was sandwiched in between two Psycro races. Let's not forget.
Yeah. The poor layout. Because this is sort of a combination, because you have to do this three different times over the game.
Yes.
But then it's positioned to three different rounds. Oh,
I was playing on normal.
Depending on your rounds, your difficulty, it can go between three and five rounds.
Right.
Ugh. This is like take the worst things about the Psycho Race and the bungee jump and just mash them together, and this is your mini level.
Not to mention, it's really disturbing and dark.
Explain it to me. What happens?
Josh.
Me? Okay.
You just did this, so it's freshest on your mind.
Pete returns.
Okay.
The dog father.
Yeah, the Hulk.
Yes.
In dog form, yeah.
The one who gets really mad and will tear Jim apart.
Yeah, he looks like a normal, cute little puppy, purple puppy. And then if he gets pissed off, he hulks out, turns into this demon thing and attacks you. Yeah, so I'm not sure what the story is behind this level, but...
I don't either.
Psycro, there's two buildings, one on the left, one on the right. Earthworm Jim is in the middle with this giant marshmallow. And Psycro is in the building on the left, and he's got all of Pete's cute little puppies, and he's just...
They are really adorable. Yeah,
and he's just throwing them out the window. Pete is on the other side with a funnel. Earthworm Jim, as you're playing him, you have to position Earthworm Jim right under the puppies as they're being tossed out and falling to the ground. And
so they don't hit the ground.
Right, because when they hit the ground, they splatter.
But it's okay because they splatter into green goo.
Yeah, not real blood.
Yeah.
So you know it's
an alien dog.
It's an alien dog.
Not so a real dog, yeah.
So, that's like Ninja Turtles style when they'd like kick a foot soldier and he'd explode in the gears.
Yeah.
It's fine, guys. It's not a human.
I remember the movie blowing my mind because like, why aren't they robots?
Right? So gritty.
So you have to bounce them. You have to time it right. You have to bounce them. You know, they're bouncing up in the air. You go under them again until you get them all the way across the screen where Pete, they drop into the funnel and Pete's happy, I guess. The thing is, once four puppies splatter on the ground, that pisses Pete off and Pete attacks you.
Wouldn't you be mad though?
Kill yeah, three of my kids, okay. We're fine.
Yeah.
You kill four and we're fucking
That's
done.
That's the limit.
Then I get to hit you a few times and then you can kill three more again before you got another one coming.
He does have a billion children. Like
yes.
A billion children. Because Psycro keeps, there must be like a dimensional pocket in that house that Psycro just reaches in and just pulls out Pete's kids.
Whoever Pete's wife is, and she's actively having puppies. As soon as they pop out, Psycro's just chucking them out the window.
I like this head fiction because now, in my mind, Psycro is their doctor. And for some reason, Pete can't walk from one house to the other.
Even though he can fly over and attack Earthworm Jim.
Right.
But yeah. So Psycro will eventually throw a bomb instead of a puppy.
Because we typically give others the means to our own destruction.
Right.
Well, see, this is where it flies in the face of all my other video game training, because I see the bomb coming out. I'm avoiding the bomb. Why would you bounce the bomb over to the puppy house and deposit it? Mm-hmm. Why would you do that?
But that's a good
point. That's what you're supposed to do.
But yeah, that is what you're supposed to do.
And it does give you the hint after you, I guess you...
If you fuck it up once.
Yeah, fuck it up, yeah. It'll say, use the bomb.
So, which I tried bouncing it back into the window.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But no, you bounce it over into the funnel where all the Pete's rescued children are. And he will act shocked and then grab the bomb out and then throw it over and it'll blow up Psycro. But... you have to do this three more times, and it gets a little more difficult each time.
It gets faster.
Yeah.
He starts throwing puppies out.
And more puppies, yeah.
More puppies, it's faster.
Fast.
Yeah. The music keeps up, which I appreciated, you know.
Which reminds me of, there was a board game, I think it was called The Grape Escape. Do you remember this? Do you remember
yes,
that commercial?
I vaguely do.
They use that music. It's an actual song. But because I saw this commercial as a child, this wonderful piece of music is now a board game jingle for the rest of my life.
It's like a lot of, what is it? One is the Loneliest Number was a Burger King jingle, and that's the first time I'd ever heard it. So I was like, oh, that's pretty good for Burger King jingle.
I didn't know that was a Burger King jingle. Uh-huh. I just got really sad.
Yeah.
What is the steak, it's what's for dinner commercial where they're, it's the...
Like it's beef.
Famous, it's just for beef.
Yeah. I don't know what it's called. Megalixir, let us know.
Yeah, I didn't realize that wasn't the like steak commercials music.
Man, those beef guys know what they're doing.
Neither you like this.
If you had to do it once. In the first one, you race Psychro once. You get to the finish line, assuming you don't lose. You get to the finish line, that's it. Continue on. You don't have to race him four times and win. Had it been one time that you had to get the bomb over, that would have been okay.
Yeah.
But the fact that you had to do it four times, no, that's bullshit. That
makes sense. Unless you really like it.
Unless you like seeing cute little puppies splatter on the ground.
I didn't like that. That actually makes me feel really sad. Yeah. But I like the game. Because
sometimes you know you have to make the sacrifice. You have to make that conscious decision.
If he throws a bomb and he throws a fast puppy, that puppy's dead.
Yeah.
I pretend I didn't even see that puppy. But this is actually, this mini game is a take on a Game & Watch game called Fire, where it is essentially the same thing. There's a building that's on fire, and babies are coming out of the building, and you have to trampoline them onto like a fire truck, I think.
Oh, okay. I can envision this now.
Which I never played that, and I didn't even know that was a thing until today. Because I looked up this game that I played on DOS when I was a kid called Bouncing Babies. And I was like, I gotta talk about Bouncing Babies because this is essentially what this mini game is. It's fucking Bouncing Babies. In this DOS game, there's a building on fire and babies are just jumping out of the building. Just jumping out. And you control two guys holding a trampoline and you had to bounce the babies over to the fire truck on the right. That is why I like this mini game so much, because I put like oblivion hours into Bouncing Babies as a child. So when I saw this recreated in Earthworm Jim 2, it made me feel really good. Mm. Made me feel really good. Made me feel like a pro. All that training paid off.
But after Puppy Love, I feel like the best level in Earthworm Jim 2.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes. I would go so far as to say, I feel like I'm going to be shunned, but this is in my top 10 like favorite levels of all time. I really like this level.
It's good.
Villi People is the name of the level. And
you love it so much, and it's only right for you to really tell us about it.
I would love to talk about this. You are Earthworm Jim in disguise as a blind salamander, armed with your blaster, and you have to float through a maze of villi. You don't want to hit the walls, because if you hit the walls, they will
electrocute.
Yeah, I kind of like... I like to think it's like Venom symbiote. Like, if you get too close, they like try to like get in your mouth. And absorb you?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what Villi do, right?
I think it is. You. Tony will let us know for sure. Your wife may let us know. I don't know. But you also have to, so you have to avoid all the edges, and there are pinball bumpers spread throughout the maze, where if you hit them, they will potentially and almost always knock you into the wall. Mm. You are avoiding cotton ball sheep that explode when they get near you or when you shoot them, and you are picking up worms, these tiny worms, as you go through the maze, all to the wonderful Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven. So this is like, you know that I like absurdist humor, and I think this is like one of the weirdest fucking levels in a game ever. I'm going to go ahead and say that. I think it's really weird. It's like a complete departure.
I feel like this level had like the soul element that I was referring to earlier with Earthworm Jim 1. Like, this has like, it has a certain feeling behind it. Mm. And it doesn't feel like it's forced humor. Like, let's just be random. Like, this feels like, yeah, it's like wonderfully absurd as opposed to just random elements. Like, put a bunch of ball, like the South Park Family
the manatees and the
beach
balls.
Yeah.
They randomly, yeah. You think that's how Shiny put together Earthworm Jim 2?
Earthworm Jim 2 for the most part, yeah.
You got the little things too, like the little villi that are stretched out across
and tied together.
Doesn't serve any purpose.
No.
It's just purely cosmetic and odd.
One of my favorite things about the level is when you get through it, those worms that you've been collecting are currency. And you use them for every worm you have at the end, you enter a game show stage. at the very end, and there is a rolling head that asks you questions, and he will ask you one question for every worm that you've picked up. Mm-hmm. And if you answer them correctly, you get power up. Now, what's interesting is the questions are questions like, does Earthworm Jim speak French? And the it's multiple choice. They're all multiple choice. For example, one answer would be yes. The other answer would be no. And then the third answer is a Beatles lyric in French. So it's filled with questions like that where it really doesn't matter. It's just, it's kind of Rochambeau a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like you just pick one and you're either right or you're wrong.
So I also really enjoyed that. I thought that was funny.
I thought that was really nice.
But the I feel like the level should have ended with that, though.
I agree. It doesn't. Although there is one thing I like about it not ending there. Because once you finish all the questions, a hole opens up in the ground. Mm-hmm. And you float down through that hole. And I think that's where it should end. Because I should make this an achievement. I haven't. But every time I go down that hole, I just start shooting down the hole just maniacally because it looks cool. Because every time you shoot the blaster, the lighting effects light up the salamander from beneath. Mm-hmm. So it looks really cool. And, okay. And I think that may actually come into play with what you're saying about this feels like it has soul. I really feel like they put the most effort in this level.
Yeah.
Like but yes, once you go through that hole, there's a version of Simon that you play.
Yep. Which I feel, I mean, I like Simon okay, but it's just, it's done a lot.
Yeah,
it's done a lot. So, and then they kind of, it wasn't really necessary. The quiz thing was brilliant. If you would have floated down the bottom and then taken off the salamander suit, level been over, great.
Yeah, it's like George Costanza. They should have left on a high note instead of sticking around.
Yep. But then after that, you go to a minor complaint, and it's like, I feel like there are a few too many like gimmicky levels in Earthworm Jim 2.
A lot of people have that complaint. I mean, it's barely a run and gun game, which I'm kind of okay with, but it's also, it's essentially a collection of mini games almost.
Because this level is another kind of gimmicky level where it kind of takes on a tilted overhead view and you're bumping up a balloon that has a bomb on it and you're going across this landscape avoiding
this mucus scape.
Yeah. And to, because the goal being to drop that bomb on General Mucus from the first game.
Yeah.
So the level's not all that long, so it's not terrible, but yeah, it's just you maneuvering around, bumping this bomb down the screen.
This is my least favorite level. Like, I think this is actually, this is a level I have the least fun with, at least with Lorenzo's Soil. I appreciate that it doesn't work 100%, but This level is always frustrating to me every time I play it because I at least die once on this level.
And it's not really creative either. It's uninspired. But then after that, puppy love again.
Mm-hmm.
And then this, another level I kind of have a complaint with on a few different levels.
Okay.
Because the next level, I forget what that's called, the seventh level.
Describe it to me. I mean,
it looks like a palette swap of the very first level, only instead of pigs, it's cows.
Oh, and you're utterly
moving,
abducted.
Utterly abducted. And you're moving cows. UFOs are trying to abduct the cows, and you're moving them into barns, sheds for them to be milked, and then that raise a platform
the milk
for you to keep going.
Sprays into a bucket that's attached with a lever to the mm-hmm. gate, and it opens it, yeah.
Which, so they really play heavily on the cows, mm-hmm. which, like, the cows were, there was one cow in the first one, and you see it at the beginning of the game and the end of the game, and it was kind of a funny novelty. So in the second one, I feel like they're, like, what do people like about the first Earthworm Jim? Yeah, let's just use that a lot. So then there are a lot of cows in this level. Mm-hmm. And then that plays into the ending a little bit, which...
Let's go ahead and spoil it.
Makes me angry.
The ending does?
Yeah. Because it's sort of like the fuck you of, it was all just a dream.
I think, yeah, if you take Earthworm Jim seriously.
And I do.
Like Mario, too. It turns out it was only just...
They tell you it's a dream at the beginning, Josh. They tell you it's a dream. You can shit on one game I like, all right? But you bring Super Mario Brothers 2 into this.
But then it turns out everybody's actually cows.
Yeah, at the end, everyone's a cow.
Yep. That's it.
That's it.
That's how it ends.
Psycho's a cow. Cows. Queen, what's her name? Princess, what's her name? Is a cow. Earthworm Jim, he's a cow.
Yep.
Spoiler, sorry.
Cool. So 47 minutes. Not bad. Not bad.
Let's call it.
But this level just looks like they just took the first level and then just, exchanged the items and that's all it was.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I like this level. I think it's fun. It does look a lot like the first level.
And then let's see, the next one after that being the Carnival of Scars,
mm-hmm.
which I'm torn between this level because, like, this is where you see Evil the Cat again.
Right.
He works summers at his brother's carnival.
Yeah. Well, he does. Evil the Cat looks like if Steve Buscemi were a cat. And as we all know, I love Steve. We're on a first name basis, he and I. I love Steve. But we all know if he weren't a talented actor, he would be a carny.
Yeah.
So, I mean, fuck you, guidance counselor. He made a name for himself.
His guidance counselor was like, Carney.
Carney.
Sorry.
Just a big stamp. He's like, I don't get to pull this one out too often. He just stamps his folder, Carney.
But the whole level is almost a take on Mario because you in the Mario tubular level because you inflate Earthworm Jim's head and float upwards through all these spikes and things in the carnival and Evil the Cat
light
is trying to pop you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a long and extensive level, but not too bad.
It's another maze, yeah. Essentially.
But
you can deflate your head a little bit if you don't want to fly so high.
Yeah, I don't think it's awful. I was lit down at the end because the boss isn't actually a boss. There are hardly any bosses in this game mm-hmm. because the boss is. What is the machine? It's sort of like where you would take the mallet and bring the bell up to the top, only it's a boxing glove and you have to jump on it. And you just do that a whole bunch until you go to the next level.
Yeah.
Like uninspired. And oh, I guess I forgot to mention about the cow level. Like when you finally collect all four cows, it raises a gate that you walk toward like you're going to go through and fight a boss. You walk to the gate, walk away from the gate, and leave the level. It seems like maybe they wanted a boss there, but like budget cuts and time, just leave.
I don't know. We keep bringing up budget cuts and time, and we got no evidence for that.
We don't.
As far as we know, that's an artistic decision.
Yeah, I don't think so. I feel like there should have been like a boss or something else there, but there's not. It's okay. Carnival of Scars, and then after that, ISO 9000.
Yeah, this is a really hard level.
Yeah,
this is an incredibly difficult level. Even as a kid, would rush through it because it actually has some frustrating moments. I don't know if you encountered, there's a file cabinet. Can I set this one up?
Mm-hmm.
This level is like a Terry Gilliam, Monty Python cartoon fever dream. It is all set in like the financial district of Earthworm Jim Planet. There are receipts in the background and there are large, fat, bespectacled statues. With meat grinders. You can tell that when they designed this level that at least a few of them worked for corporations at one point mm-hmm. in time and really didn't enjoy it. It's frustrating because one of the enemies in this level is a file cabinet. And there's several of them in this level. And if they hit you, they just take a little bit of life off. It's not a big deal. But the problem is they don't stop. They kind of bounce towards you. And when they bounce off you, you just lose a little health, no big deal, but they push you back. And if they sandwich you in between a wall, you instantly die.
Yeah.
And that gets annoying because when you try to move, it's similar to an ice level in that there's nothing on the ground except for papers. Like it's just littered with like receipts and financial papers, files and whatnot. So every time you move, you do the Scooby-Doo thing where you like run in place for like 2 seconds. So like you can like never get away from the file cabinets, like never. So I like every time I play this game, I rush through this level as fast as I can, trying to avoid the file cabinets.
I think maybe part of my issue was in Earthworm Jim 1, it felt like you were moving absurdist terrain, but legitimate like terrain to terrain. Like a level like this where the background is all like receipts. Like if it had instead been like an office floor with like some kind of demonic administrator or something to make me feel like I'd come into like some kind of building to legitimize it as opposed to just each section feeling like a slightly different mini game or... I just didn't feel like the cohesiveness,
yeah,
really. But I didn't have this level was difficult, but humorous enough, and you could tell that they were venting frustrations. Like, I don't have a real problem with it. But yeah, after you beat all the file cabinets, puppy love again.
Uh-huh. For the last
cross
time.
Cross it off the list.
And then another level, then I feel like they just take all the stuff from the paper, from ISO 9000, the paperwork and things like that, and then turn it all into meat. Uh-huh. Because the next level, it's level 11, but they call it level 8, ATE. Mm-hmm. And then it's all like you're on a big barbecue with like deli meats and hamburgers and salt shakers and eggs. And instead of spikes everywhere, it's crossed forks and forks that are moving up and down. And
was it culinarily accurate based on your experience in the kitchen?
I have no culinary qualms.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Culinary qualms.
At least we've got that.
So, I mean, if I make hamburgers, I will sometimes use eggs. So I have no problem that eggs are in the level. But as you go through blast salt shakers that are coming at you, there are slugs in the level that you have to, like, whip and they run away.
They'll taunt the salt shakers.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, this level, like, the absurdness felt forced. Like, it didn't seem...
Yeah, it's heavy-handed.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I don't know. I mean, because it's pretty much... It's all food. It's food themed, and everything stays very close to that theme. They're married to that theme.
Yeah, if it was, I don't know, something like, remember the first level with the guy who would belch fish?
Uh-huh.
If it was like a bunch of them and like flipping deli meats and throwing hamburgers and shit like that, I could have been more behind that than everything being made of deli meat. You know, it just didn't, again, it's the cohesiveness and the flow. Like, I don't know, going from all papers to suddenly to all meats.
Yeah.
Like, there's a disconnect for me there. Take my arthritis embarrassingly.
I know. I think that maybe you should chill and play it. You might enjoy it.
Don't go from receipts to meat. You don't do it.
You have receipts after you pay for the meat. I don't understand.
They fired their continuity writer.
But then this level actually has a boss. Yes. And it is a very absurd boss that you fight a steak on a plate.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I don't know his name.
I think it's...
With the beef, it's what's for dinner music playing, right?
Oh, that's a missed opportunity.
I think it's something like fiery... He's a piece of filet mignon and he shoots fire. So it's like fiery mignon
is
his name or something like that. Okay. And then you're on top of a pizza, but every time the cheese works like quicksand, you can only stand on the pepperonis. So you're on top of this pizza fighting the steak that throws a plate and belches fire at you.
Let's be honest, it's a hot and ready. It's not really a pizza. Like, it's only technically a pizza. I'm looking at you, Blake Woods, of Blackbone fame.
Heavy breathing.
Because we could tell Blake Woods' story right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Before we would play D&D online, because Blake would usually, hold on a minute.
Because we're cool like that.
Yeah. And Blake would quickly eat a hot and ready he would pick up on the way home from work. And you could always tell when he was done because he would get like the meat gasps. So we'd be trying to talk to him and he'd just out of breath from eating that hot and ready. All right, you guys, ready for... Roll for initiative.
I think one time Josh was even like, I think we're ready to play. I hear Blake breathing.
Blake having a heart attack? Just finished up pizza really fast.
Blake, you're going to have a heart attack. No. I got really good genes.
This is our test to see if he's still listening.
Yep. Or next year when he comes back again, he'll binge and finally get us back next year.
I checked Facebook today, Blake. A little shy of a million likes.
Yep. Let's see. So after you fight, you beat Fiery Mignon, then final level of the game.
Yes. They bring back the race.
Yeah.
They bring back the race. You're racing Psycho, which I think is quite funny. I think that's intentional. Because I am willing to bet that people bitched about the Psycho minigame in between each level in Earthworm Jim 1. Yeah. So, like, I always took this last level as kind of a fuck you.
Yeah,
exactly. You don't like our game?
There you go. Fuck off. So, yeah, it looks, I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah.
But that's really all the level is. You're through a kind of modern-looking, futuristic-looking level, running through, racing Psycho to the end, and once it's basically whoever gets to... Princess What's-Her-Name first.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's it.
That's the end. That's it. Yeah, you race. That's it. No boss. No, that made me a little angry as
really?
Well. Yeah,
I need a boss.
Like, I just expected something like the end of Earthworm Jim was pretty epic and dark and intense because that's when you go fight Queen Slug for a butt.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's like the dark and, you know, difficult getting through her level. Like it was, I feel like it had something to it. I felt rewarded at the end.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel rewarded at the end of this.
Fable 2 also didn't have a boss and I was really let down by that. So
really?
Yeah.
Maybe Fable 2 is my favorite Fable game. So I don't know. Maybe I just don't like bosses.
I like the whole game. I just was let down at the end.
You have to make an important decision, though. But that's the boss.
But then you get the ending of they're all cows. And
they're all cows.
That's our third gym, too.
And that's it.
I got some achievements.
Do you have achievements for this game?
Yeah, I do.
I've got one.
My first one is Three Dog Night, and you unlock that by never dropping a puppy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nicole's never heard of them.
Puppies?
No, the Three Dog Night did a concert a couple of weeks ago.
Here at the Carson Paducah. Center in Paducah. Yeah.
And I mentioned it to Nicole. She had no idea who I was talking about.
Let's see, the second one is Master of Murder World, which you get that by answering all the questions correctly in the
Villi People.
The Villi People level.
That's a hard fucking achievement.
Mm-hmm. You have to cheat or have done it before.
Or what if you just get one worm? Then you. What if you just get one worm and you get one right?
Okay.
You can really skew the odds in your favor.
But I thought you might like that because I mentioned Murder World.
Oh, I love a good Murder World reference.
And the last one being Eat More Chicken. And that's whenever you beat the utterly insane level, early abducted level.
Okay.
So it's spelled out like the Chick-fil-A.
Josh, you said you have one.
Yeah. Immediately what I thought of in the first level... were the Squidbillies. Whenever you see the enemies are these green, I guess, slime covered or made out of slime, but they're squids or octopuses with big blunderbusses and a trucker hat, and they float around and shoot at you. So the Squidbilly achievement would be to kill all of the blunderbus wielding Squidbillies.
I like that.
I've got two.
All right.
I think you're going to like the first one, Tyler. The first one is called Hero of Grey Ditch. And in order to unlock Hero of Grey Ditch, you have to kill all of the ants, all of the giant ants in Lorenzo's soil level. That is a Fallout reference.
Man, most frustrating. God, I geared myself out to finish that quest. It was so fucking difficult.
I love the actual name of the quest in Fallout, because that's Fallout 3, right? Mm-hmm. The name of the quest is Those, with an exclamation mark. And that's a reference to the old B-horror movie, Them, with an exclamation mark, which is a movie about giant ants. So
yeah, I remember that quest too. That was like I think the only quest I had to go and come back later.
But you get it like really close to the beginning. Yeah. You have to be like level 20 with like fire resistance and all that shit to actually finish it.
I have a second achievement, and that is called Our Lord and Savior Gary Larson. And in order to unlock Our Lord and Savior Gary Larson, you have to it automatically unlocks once you save all of the cows in the utterly abducted level.
That's good.
Also, there's a second version of that achievement called Our Lord and Savior Gary Larson Has Risen. And in order to unlock that, you have to, at the end of every level, there's a screenshot of two cows.
Mm-hmm.
And if you press the Y button, they'll say, well done, really fast. And if you press all the other buttons, they say, well done, and at different speeds. So in order to unlock Has Risen, You have to make them say it all four times after completing each level.
Okay.
Hidden achievement.
All right. That's good.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
That wasn't so bad.
Okay, good. I'm glad you thought so.
I thought it was going to be a lot worse than that. A lot worse than that.
Tyler. Meh.
Considering when you came over to record, the first thing you said was, Earthworm Jim 2. I was like, oh fuck. I'm gonna have to be understanding today. But I'm gonna actually, Josh, I don't want to get too upset.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't, I'm gonna leave the room. If you wouldn't mind doing the honors of asking Tyler for beards and glasses. Oh, sorry, I knocked the mic over. I'd appreciate it. Just text me, I guess, when you're done.
Okay.
Or you can yell. I'll just be in.
All right. So you want to...
pull your wiener out.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck, what are we going to do? There are things that go on your face.
There you go.
How would you relate those to this game?
Well, the SNL skit, More Cowbell, Will Ferrell plays the cowbell for Christopher Walken. He has a long, fake red beard. Mm-hmm. So I'd have to give it Will Ferrell's More Cowbell beard.
Okay.
Because it's real looking. It looks good. It's just not a real. It's not a real beard. It's not a real beard.
There is this thing that grows on your face. Yours is red.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's is,
mm-hmm.
but yours is red.
Mm-hmm.
if Earthworm Jim, the game, Earthworm Jim 2, were to grow a beard, what would it be?
What? I just gave it a beard.
Oh, a beard? I was asking you about glasses.
Oh. You did it in reverse.
God damn.
In reverse.
I'm texting Dave.
Well, technically, I'm not done yet.
All right. I fucked it up.
You did?
I fucked it up bad. I am so sorry.
Tell me what happened, because I'm not going to listen to it.
I asked him about glasses.
Yeah.
First, and he gave me answer for beard. Yeah. And so it's now,
why did you ask glasses first?
I don't know. I didn't. There wasn't a script. I didn't know.
After you realized that the first thing you did when we recorded was you sat down, you made fun of our script. See what happens when you don't stick to the script, Josh. So now I know what the stinger has to be. It has to be you reading the script.
Yeah, just fuck it. Just give me the glasses.
Cheater glasses from the dollar store.
God damn it. You told me you were done. And I came back.
I said we're not done.
Oh, man. Josh,
this
I don't know
episode
what to do,
is
man.
Ruined. God.
Do you have an explanation for cheater glasses from the dollar store?
They look like real glasses, and they help a little bit, uh-huh. But they're just not fully functioning like you'd expect when you see glasses.
Okay.
They're not bad. They still work. They're not broken.
Some are stylish.
Yeah.
Some are not.
It's true.
Some have little slices of cheese and forks in them.
And I leave the style design up to the player. So,
Alan Applegate of Retail Hell he started his own podcast called Top 10 Podcast, and he has been gracious enough to ask me to come on to be a host for his first episode, which just published, and it's new.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for asking me too, Alan. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Alan, he and I had a private conversation beforehand, and like actually before he even asked me to come on the show, he's like, you liked Earthworm Jim 2 a lot, right? And I was like, absolutely. And he's like, come guest host for me. Thank you, Alan, for having me on the show. I think it's actually a really good episode. His format is really cool. He comes up with, let me start from the top. The guest host chooses a topic. I chose video games, the top 10 important video games. And then he puts together a top 10 list of games that he thinks are the most important. And then I put together a top 10 list of games that I thought was the most important. Mm-hmm. And we take turns reading off our numbers and giving explanations. It's a really cool idea for a show. And I had a lot of fun recording it. I think it's actually, I'll dare say, I think we actually had a good conversation. So if anyone wants to hear that, please check it out at top1010podcast.org. And hopefully it's going to be on iTunes soon.
Yeah. I guess then we also already plugged what's Paul playing today. Because you've been on both of these podcasts. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes me in Asking to Do Podcast.
Paul has told me that he's asked you to be on the show before.
He mentioned it one time to me. That's true.
Paul, is this true? We need to...
Hold on. You're asked to be a guest host on podcast?
Yeah, it's different than our show where you just come on.
Yeah. Or if you can find it, you're dishonest.
Like we need to leave treasure maps around conventions. But yeah, Paul had me on What's Paul Playing Today, where we played Hammerwatch, which I always want to call Hammerfall because Titanfall just came out.
Yeah.
The game is not called Hammerfall. Check it out. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. I am super grumpy. I'm just going to go ahead and say that like right up front. I am super grumpy. Sorry about that, Paul. It was a long day and maybe I didn't have enough coffee. I don't know, but I am grumpy.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about, I think we discussed Other Ship Monday doing Lollipop Chainsaw.
I think we should do it. I always call that game, I can never remember the name of that game.
Chainsaw Lollipop.
So, yeah, like, which is it? I don't know. Is it Lollipop Chainsaw?
It is Lollipop Chainsaw.
Because I'll save it. I'll save it for that episode.
Because Lord Matt Barger has sent us so many games.
I know.
And we haven't done any of them. And a little subtle poke is like, I'll buy you all these games. I haven't heard an episode yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Message received, Matt. You're right.
We're sorry.
You've graciously given us so many games. We're getting on that bandwagon now.
Yes.
But then next Wednesday, we'll be talking about IGN's 39th ranked game, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Time. Mm-hmm. See, you hear that? You hear that from Josh? Mm-hmm. He's been silent. It's like not even paying attention, but he heard that and immediately acknowledged its greatness.
I don't know. That didn't sound very enthusiastic.
That is top tier enthusiasm from Josh.
Josh, aren't you glad we got married?
When Nicole's like, Josh, I want you to fuck my brains out.
I love you, honey. I'll be home soon.
I love you too.
While you're there, if you could subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review.
Why not?
Include a game in the review, and we'll get to it eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we will be back at some time in the future. In the meantime, if you can't get enough Tadpog goodness, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. That's where there's a funny photograph of Blake of Blackthorn fame and Super Mario Brothers 3 fame and interview fame with a crawfish hanging out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The close cousin to
We don't even
ready.
Know where he got that.
Yeah, he just he found just, it.
Right, Blake. He's like, what, Blake? Where did you get that?
Everyone knows the crawfish is the nearest relative to the hot and ready pizza. So it only makes sense. You can also find us on...
Or the human penis.
Please, Tyler. The gooter.
The gooter. You're right. Fuck. So if somebody wants to Photoshop that, Lord Mike.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that's, I mean, if that's a bridge you're ready to burn. somehow I know you'll persevere. You can also find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There are always a lot of cool people doing a lot of cool shit, like posting about the episodes. We post the episodes on Facebook, and we usually have some really good comments from regular listeners. I really appreciate you guys doing that. I really enjoy interacting and hearing your comments about how we did a bad job.
Yep.
You can also find us on Twitter at @tadpog_podcast. We're growing every day. Thank you. I know we're not giving shout outs and thanks, but Taryn, I feel like we really need to thank because
Hooters Taryn, thank you.
She is she's bringing in the followers, so thank you very much. Also, if you want to call us, you can. I know we're being weird about calls. It's fine. You can call us. It's okay. We don't mind. We actually love getting the calls. Even if we don't play it on the show, we listen to it. Sometimes we touch ourselves while we listen to it. It just depends on how deep your voice is.
We're not telling you which way which way that falls.
Nope. We're going to be ambiguous about that. But I tell you what, if you give us a call, keep it under 3 minutes and ask a question, maybe about a video game, maybe about, I don't know, something else, we might play it. You can call us at 270. I sounded so drunk and I'm not. It's this Coke Zero. I'm drunk on the robust flavor of this refreshing Coke Zero. You can call us at 270-883-2555.
You can still like tell a story, leave an anecdote, just throw a question in there too.
Yeah, why not?
It'd be great.
But seriously, keep it under 3 minutes.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Josh Nance. You are way ahead of Nicole for hosting episodes.
I forgot you were here. I'm sorry. I was ready to shut this show down.
No, it's cool. You've been looking at me like the whole time.
I know. I was just basking in your I'd let you get a new haircut. I like it. You're a handsome boy.
Thank you, Dave. Tyler. You too are a handsome boy.
Thank you.
There are three handsome boys here at this table.
Yeah.
I feel really happy right now.
That should be our next podcast. Three handsome boys. I guess that's it.
Josh, our intro song.
I'm an old pro of this, Dave.
I know. I got to test your memory.
It's Moves by Sycamore Drive.
Holy shit.
It can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
Boom. Boom.
Yep. Okay, that's very good.
Don't remember your Twitter handle or anything like that. But
I just said it. I literally just said it.
Neither one of you are paying attention to each other. You both just face each other out of reality for about 30 seconds.
We're both just staring at each other, but it just doesn't register.
I really did like this game. I really did like this game. But I liked it too.
I know it probably didn't sound like I did. I liked it too, just not as much as I enjoyed the first one.
No, but I wanted to say that I still love you both very much. and I want to continue our friendships, mm-hmm. and I would like to keep doing this show.
Okay.
But remember that I'm going to purposely now not like a game that you like.
Okay. That's fair.
Sorry, my
that's
hands fair. Are a little sweaty, dude.
Well, you didn't like Suikoden, okay. So that's okay.
Spoilers for Suikoden episode. Spoilers.
Until next time,
Tropical Capricorn.
Josh, Tropical Capricorn.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a semi-footnote weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and interesting fact and funny statement.